It is the WIP Afternoon Show. Like Spike and Fritz, we're at Chickie's in Warrington. You can join Eagles fans at the Chickie's and Pizza Terminal E at the Philly Airport, as long as you're flying. Otherwise, you're not allowed in there. Before the before heading to Tampa Bay next Friday for the tailgate at the gate party starting at 8 a.m. Now, if you're in the area next weekend, Ike has something that you can do.
Oh, you certainly want to be here for this. Come check myself and Joe Conklin. Well, it's not my comedy show. It's Joe Conklin's comedy show.
We need to change that up.
It's not my comedy show.
What's your special called?
Yeah. It's Joe Conklin's comedy show at Archbishop Wood High School in Warminster, PA, as Spike just mentioned. That'll be next Saturday, September 28th. Make sure you come out early. I'll be there. Come and holler at your boy. We'll do a little meet and greet before the show. And haven't ran this by Joe just yet, or I haven't got the clearance from Joe.
Okay.
I may have a joke for you.
Yeah!
I may have it.
Need someone to record it.
Get your hopes up too high. No. I'm just saying I may have a joke. Go get your tickets at JoeConklin.com.
Is it going to be called Pause?
Yeah.
More than likely, yes.
Yeah, probably. Yeah,
some type of Diddy joke.
Yeah, I'm sure. Those are flying around.
Those are flying around right now.
I'm not touching them. I might have been in a party or two.
I'm sure you were.
No. You were out there.
No, I haven't been in a party in 20 years.
You mean just like a regular party?
Yeah. I don't go to parties.
Yeah.
Yeah.
House party?
Well, nah. Unfortunately,
those... House party? What am I, 19?
Well, I can't wait. Wow.
He has tapes from the early 2000s. I'm just saying.
Nah, 20 years. Still wasn't a party in 03 either. 215-592-9494. Jameel in Frankfurt. You're on WIP.
Sounds good.
Hey, fellas, how y'all doing?
What's up, Jameel?
What's up, Jameel?
I'm pull over before my car tell me I'm distracted again. Hold on one second. Listen, two things, and both of them are towards Ike. Ike, first of all, you know... I got love for you, brother.
Okay.
Real quick question. Is the swim move no longer allowed in the NFL?
It is. It's still allowed.
Offensive player?
It's still allowed.
So then why is Bryce not swim moving or at least attempting to get hands off of him to get past the offensive line?
Yeah. I mean, that's a good one. Having some type of counter pass rush move or something.
Well, it was concerning yesterday when he said, I need to try something else, which is a problem.
Double click or the spin around.
Right.
Swim, something. Like,
something, man. I got to get Hugh Douglas down there, man. Teach these guys some new pass rush moves.
Real quick, I agree with you. We don't need to score 37. But the offensive coordinator does need to take ownership and responsibility for not including – every piece of the offense that we have in play. Right now, we are like an NBA team without a three-point sniper, without AJ on the field. So that means we got to dink and dunk. We got to hit low, hit corner routes, hit fade routes, not fade routes, sorry, hit corner routes, hit flat routes with our tight end. Get those 5 yards. 5 yard him down the field. Let Saquon pick up 9 and 10 on the run, and when they start to collapse in, hit him on the outside for 5 and 10 yards and get us down the field. We ain't got to go deep all the time, but my God, we got to do something.
Well, let me tell you what else. It's week 3. John Dotson, I mean, is he going to be a part of the offense or not? Why do we trade for him?
That's a good question.
Well, I think we traded for him because they made an error in the offseason in that they did not – They took a flyer on Paris Campbell. They took a flyer on John Ross. It didn't work out. And then they had a, Jahan Dotson, as talented as he may be, and I'm sure he's talented, we can't, sort of like Bryce Huff, not the same.
What?
Hold on. Jameel, just hang on a second. Bryce Huff, one of the things I think about when we gave Bryce Huff all that money was that the Jets decided they didn't need him.
Mm-hmm.
And not every team makes the right decision there, but the Washington is a rebuilding team who decided to bail on a high draft pick 3 years into his career.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
the only thing to know on Jahan Dotson, obviously he's talented, but the concern I have is that maybe there's just something there that isn't.
Well, then that's two bad offseason acquisitions.
Yes.
Like, why trade for a guy, give up a third-round pick, and don't use him?
I agree.
Before we start throwing out a whole bunch of bad offseason acquisitions, I will say this about Dotson. Dotson falls in line with this Michael Jordan quote. Talent plus practice and proper coaching makes a great player, period.
Okay. Well, yeah, I'm putting this on the coaches. Like, how he went and traded for this guy – then it's up for the offensive play callers and play designers to figure out, okay, how do we use him and get more? Because now you got A.J. out. It's one thing if A.J. was in and you said, okay, there's not enough balls to go around everybody. Well, we got one receiver that we can count on right now. And we traded for this kid and gave up a third-round pick. And listen, we gave him a pass for week one. 9 days later, game two came around. He caught, what, one ball in game two?
Yep.
For 6 yards. Okay, we're in game three. Can we put the Jahan Dotson package together or do something? I'm just saying. I mean, Spike, you want us to score 37 points. Somebody.
Wait, he's got to be out there.
Somebody has to catch the ball.
I agree. Thank you for the call, Jim.
Well, and by the way,
somebody has to catch the ball.
I agree with you.
If you're going to trade a third-round pick, why didn't you just trade for Matthew Judon?
I would have taken the defensive end. Yes.
You need an edge rusher.
Yes.
I know you paid Bryce Huff, but holy cow.
Yeah, you had enough time in training camp to realize, just like you realized your third receiver wasn't very good, you traded for him. You had enough time to see that Bryce Huff was struggling being a every down player against the run.
When Vic Fangio said, we hope he can rush the passer, or he's still learning how to rush the passer, that's when you call the Patriots.
No, that's not what he said. Vic Fangio said he hopes he can...
No, not rush the passer. I meant defending against the run.
They doubled and tripled down on the offense. And that, you know, not to bring up the debate again, but all of these moves are to solidify and try to improve the offense, because I don't think they thought this defense. Now, obviously, it's possible they just blew the Bryce Huff evaluation, you know, and that maybe Jalen Carter and Jordan Davis are dogs and are not in shape. You know, Lombardi said that to us yesterday. I don't know. But they doubled and tripled down on the offense, which makes it, whether they're capable or not, I don't know. But it seems like that's how they want to win football games.
Well, that's a flawed way of thinking. So, I mean, if that's what they did, then the organization needs to be criticized for that. All I'm saying is the offense can't make up for every other weak area on the team that they didn't choose to address.
I agree. And one of the things that we'll come back to, we'll see when this all plays out, is the original question, no matter how great Saquon Barkley is, the original question of, do you devote all of those resources to that position when you have other holes? And I think that was it's the same question they had in New York. Different situation, but the question was not, is Saquon Barkley a great player? The question was, do we use the fourth overall pick on Saquon Barkley?
Right.
So the question for us isn't, is Saquon Barkley a great player? The question is he great enough between your B option to take all of that money and put it there rather than somewhere else, you know, because there's a limited amount of money per year you can use.
I will say this for them. Other than trading for Brian Burns, I don't know if it was a good year for defensive ends in free agency.
Yeah. Burns
so
is the only one.
Yeah, I don't know if there was that playmaker out there available to them.
Yeah. And maybe, you know, sometimes it's one of those things where you end up overspending on whoever's available, and that might be the Bryce Huff thing.
Oh, no doubt.
You know, that he wasn't their main target. They knew they needed an edge rusher. They knew they didn't want to pay Hassan Reddick, you know, 3 years, $70 million or whatever he wanted. And so they decided to pay Bryce Huff.
So I'm glad you brought that up. Because that's honestly, we've avoided this for a while now. They made a mistake not re-signing Hassan Reddick. You know, we did a long, given how we praised. They knew, oh, look at Hassan Reddick and the Jets. No, look at us and our defensive end situation. I would much rather have Hassan Reddick here.
And not have the third-round pick.
Yes.
Yeah, we did a parade. We threw a parade for Howie that he got a third-round pick for Reddick. He's not even playing. He has the exact same number of tackles and sacks and pressures as Bryce Huff does, and he hasn't even played. So, I think we can confidently say, whether the contract would have been a good one or not, that Hassan Reddick probably would have been more effective this year than Bryce Huff so far.
And we certainly aren't in some luxury position where we can just let go of a guy who's been a double-digit sack guy for the last four straight years. I'm not saying he's the greatest. I'm not saying they should have paid him $30 million. What I am saying is there should have been a priority to keep him here, even if it was just for one more year. Or how about this? Find a way to find a happy medium and give him a two-year extension.
Right. And
give him a two-year extension. Give him some more guaranteed money. I mean, something.
Well, I think he... My sense is
he made it difficult.
He was asking for way too much.
Yes.
And my sense is both sides now wish they would have been more, made a better effort to meet
the compromise.
Because now Hassan Reddick's stuck.
Losing money every week, which is the worst. $800 grand. He needs to fire his agent. That's all I know. He needs to fire his agent for sure.
Not counting training camp fines. He's lost $1.6 million in salary by not playing the first 2 weeks.
Unbelievable.
Forget about the $25 million a year you wanted. Now you're not even getting the 16 you're due to be paid.
Supposed to get, yes. It's unbelievable.
I know somebody who will put us all in a better mood. Oh, yeah. It is our friend, Tommy from down the shore.
It's Tommy down the shore.
Yeah, why? Yes, Mike.
Tommy down the shore.
I love baloney.
Likes to thank a Grecian, then he goes and says his piece. It's Tommy.
You know what I'm saying?
Down the shore.
Tommy!
Yo, Mike. Go, Spike. Go, Jack. Big time baloney business, baby.
Big time baloney business is right.
Oh, I'm good, man. You know, I like them. You know, how you guys feeling? Because earlier in the week, I was so depressed. You know what I mean? Were you guys depressed, like, on Monday night and Tuesday?
For sure.
It still are.
Nope.
Well, see, here. I'm here. Listen, gentlemen. You know me. I'm a ray of sunshine. I'm here to turn tide because something extraordinary happened to me this week, if you guys want to hear about it.
Yeah.
Sure. Would love to.
So, you guys, I can't remember if I ever told you, but I've always been kind of obsessed with, like, ghosts and voodoo. You know what I mean?
And ghost, like, ghost and what?
And what?
Voodoo.
Voodoo.
Oh, not doo-doo.
I said doo-doo.
Oh, Seth, I mean, the other thing, you know, I'm not obsessed with it, but it's part of my life. You know what I mean?
Well, yeah,
it's
yeah.
Part of
yeah.
Our
yeah.
Life.
All of our lives, yep.
All part of all, but we all got to deal with it at some point. You know what I mean? But always been
deal with
it's
an
like,
interesting way to put it.
Right. Jack, I'm a philosopher. You know me, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yep.
But anyway, there's something extraordinary, because I've always been obsessed with ghosts, right? And sometimes, but it's something that terrifies me. Sometimes in life, you become obsessed with things that, like, that scare you, but you're interested in them.
Yeah.
Well, this is going to seem unbelievable, okay? I had a supernatural experience. A few nights ago, I'm sleeping, right? I'm sleeping. I hear some noise, some rattling in the kitchen, right? Go down the stairs. My heart is beating out of my chest. I get to the foot of the stairs. It's a ghost.
And
I'm
ghost?
Terrified. A ghost.
Oh, my God.
You guys ever seen a ghost before?
No.
Just keep saying the word ghost, please. I love it.
Ghost.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Wow, I've never seen a ghost.
It's a ghost. Listen, I'm terrified, right? But right away, this ghost, he kind of calms my nerves. He says, yo, Tommy, settle down. Listen, my name is Louis.
In that voice, too?
Yeah, he sounds just like me, Jack. You know what I mean?
Yeah, hey, Tommy.
He says, yo, Tom. He says, calls me Tom. He calls me Tom. I say, yeah, people call me Tom. He calls me Tom. He says, yo, Tom, listen, settle down. My name is Louis, okay? I'm a friendly ghost, and I'm an Eagles fan. And he says to me, Tommy, I need a favor, okay? I need you to create a New Orleans Saints voodoo doll. Voodoo. Not doo-doo. Voodoo doll, okay?
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's supernatural. You know what I mean? I guess because it connects to New Orleans and, you know, you know what I mean?
Yeah, that makes sense.
Makes sense, right?
Yep.
Yeah, so the ghost that you saw when you woke up one night asked you to create a Saints voodoo doll. Have you?
Yes.
Have you ever been to New Orleans?
I've never been there. I'd love to visit. I mean, I love the music, the culture, the cuisine. You know what I mean? Like, I love Popeye's chicken. You guys like Popeye's chicken sandwiches?
Yeah,
I
don't. One of us for sure.
Yeah, I don't think that's. I used to. I don't think that's a original New Orleans food, though.
Well.
Yeah,
well, they say Louisiana kitchen.
I don't know if it's original, but it certainly is associated with Louisiana.
Absolutely. And you know what? It's delicious. But here's the thing. I like the classics, the New Orleans classics cuisine. You know what I mean? But I like the bologna versions, like bologna jambalaya. You know what I mean? Bologna etouffee. You know? Bologna gumbo. Bologna muffuletta. You guys ever had a muffuletta sandwich? You know what I mean?
I have. Yeah, but it's not made out of bologna. I don't think they make bologna jambalaya.
That's my version. Yeah, I'm a culinary visionary. You know what I mean? It's like,
all right.
And I like, my favorite is bologna beignet because it's sweet and salty. You know what I mean?
Bologna beignet sounds disgusting, Tom.
It's good and terrible. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So how are we feeling about the birds?
Listen, I'm a little, you guys know me, I'm an optimist, but I'm a little nervous. But because I had this, I didn't feel this way on Monday night or Tuesday, but because I had this spiritual experience, something is moving in the universe, in the cosmos. And okay. I feel like we're going to be pleasantly surprised, okay? You guys ready for my score prediction? Because I would say everybody take this to the bank when you bet this weekend.
Yeah, did Lewis the Ghost give you this? Did Lewis the Friendly Ghost give you this score prediction?
Lewis the Ghost just wants me to make the voodoo doll. He didn't really give me a prediction.
Good.
You know what I mean? And I, you know, the voodoo doll, I'm supposed to poke it three times with a hot needle at the start of each quarter. You know what I mean? It's kind of ridiculous because, like, that's a lot of extra work for me. You know what I mean?
I enjoy the word poke, actually, of you saying.
Yeah, I need to poke the voodoo doll. That's a lot of extra work. He's a nice guy, but he's very demanding. But he didn't give me a score. He didn't give me a score prediction. But here's what I'm saying. This could be a tight game, right? I think we're going to really step it up. It's going to go 31-28 birds late in the fourth quarter on a Jake Elliott field goal. Boom. Take it to the bank.
Ooh.
31-28 birds. I like it.
Love it.
We're in a dome, so you know Jake could be good for up to 65 yards in a dome, I think.
That's right. See, in a Superdome, Jake Elliott could kick a 100-yard field goal.
I'm not so sure.
75 yards.
Okay, all right. All right, Tommy. Well, I'm glad that you brought the good vibes. I thought Casper was the only friendly ghost, but Lewis, the Eagles fan friendly ghost, is the newest one. So appreciate you checking in, Tommy.
Thanks so much, fellas. You guys are the best. I'll talk to you next week. Let's go, birds. Shout out to Lewis the Ghost.
All right. Shout out to Lewis the Friendly Ghost.
Okay.
Poking. Voodoo.
Yeah.
Ghost.
Good for Tommy.
Steven Westchester, you're on WIP.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
What's up, Steve?
What up,
Hey,
Steve?
Guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
No.
Hey, Spike, I'm a first-time caller. It's the first time I talk to you. Wanted to let you know I'm proud owner of a Brandywine SPCA rescue.
There you go.
My third dog. it's my first rescue. Like I said, it's crazy. It's... You know, who rescued who? Love the dog to death.
I love it, man. But, my wife used to work there at the Brandywine Valley SPCA, so good people. So I'm glad you rescued a dog.
Yeah, I heard you mention that place a few times. But speaking of rescue, I'd like to mention the first time I met Mike Reese. It's a pretty funny story. If I could add it for my Dick Sirianni point.
Shoot.
Okay. I had won a Merle Reese competition at the Keith Jones Golf Invitational, and I was all fanatic'd up. I had all types of memorabilia, and I must have been all googly-eyed looking at Spike and looking at Ike. Excuse me.
No
and,
one's looked googly-eyed at Spike.
Yeah, no, but not even my wife.
I was excited. I was excited on meeting an athlete. I said to him, "Hey, Ike, how you doing? You know, you're my second favorite Eagle of all time." And he stopped what he was doing and looked directly at me, scared the daylights out of me, and said, "Who's your first?" And I was like, "Seth." I said, "Seth Joyner." And he said, "Good answer."
Yes.
But, that was funny. My thing with Nick Sirianni, I don't think he has a feel for the game. I think his decisions are affecting the offense. You know, he's not calling the plays, but, you know, if you look at the field goal decisions in the beginning and at the end of the game, they should have did the opposite on each one. You know, I just don't think he has a feel. And I have one other point about Nick and Jalen.
Well, hold on, Steve. I just only hear, would we take away all play calling and offensive responsibilities from the head coach and then still find a way to blame him for it? I mean, I don't know if it's a field thing.
Can I ask you a question?
I'm sorry.
I don't mean to interrupt.
No. Go ahead.
In the beginning of the game, don't you think they should have kicked the field goal there? And
no.
Whose decision
no.
was that?
No, they. Well, I'm sure that's his decision, whether to go for it or not on fourth down. I would imagine that isn't Kellen Moore. Kellen Moore will make the call of the play, but I think Nick probably decides
exactly.
to go for it on fourth. But hold on, Steve. We went to the Super Bowl 2 years ago with the guy being aggressive throughout the season. And you could say that one of the reasons we didn't win the Super Bowl is because he did not stay aggressive. So I think there is, we'll never know, but I think there is a little bit of, you know, like reverse engineering on whether it was a good decision or not based on whether it succeeds or not. And I don't yeah. know that always, I think, let's just take the third and three call. I think it was a good decision. It did not succeed because the players got out. Well, in that case, Saquon Barkley just dropped the ball. Or sometimes the defense plays better than the offense and you don't succeed. It's just what happens. So it's a lot easier to blame the two things Nick Sirianni did the entire game as opposed to blaming our star running back who didn't catch the ball, blaming our defense who let the other team go down the field in five plays with a minute and 30 seconds left. It's a lot easier to do that than to blame the quarterback who threw an interception, throwing the ball 40 yards down the field when we only needed 15 yards. It's a lot easier to blame the head coach than the defensive, the three first-round picks we have on defense who don't touch the quarterback, or the $17 million a year defensive end who doesn't touch the quarterback. You can yeah. make your criticisms of Nick Sirianni, for sure, but I just, as far as the list of things that are wrong, he can't, to me, can't be anywhere near the top. He can't. We spent the offseason removing his responsibility for day of game decisions. And then and it's Howie Roseman who signed the players. It's the coordinators who call the plays. It is the players who execute them. Nick Sirianni's not near the top of the list.
Spike, everything you said happened. You know, all those, you know, he dropped the ball, or Saquon dropped the ball. Jalen threw the interception. But, you know, my point was talking about Nick Sirianni and having a feel for the game. And the two decisions that he made, I feel, were not in the rhythm of the game. You know, I feel he didn't make many decisions, and I feel the ones that he did were bad.
Okay.
And it was the two fourth down decisions. You know, I disagree with you. I enjoy the banter, but I feel
it's okay
to
disagree. You don't have to worry about disagreeing.
I enjoy it. I enjoy the banter.
Yeah, I just think. I appreciate the call. We have to move on. Mm-hmm. I just think it hurts to say the player screwed up. You know, especially when it's your best player. Especially when we love Saquon and we love Jalen and we want all those things to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot easier to think if the head coach had just made this one decision, everything would be fine. But I don't think that's right in those cases. You know, I just don't think it's right. So
yeah, I agree. I mean, listen, even his decisions that he made, the two fourth down decisions, I still think it's a coin flip. There is no absolute answer there.
Right. It really comes down to whether it worked or it didn't.
Yes.
Yes.
So that's why I don't kill him over it. Right. I mean, he wants to go up 6 points and then see if they can keep Atlanta from getting a touchdown late in the game. Okay,
if Quinion Mitchell doesn't blow two coverages, then all of a sudden it looks like the right decision.
Right. Yeah, if there had been some resistance on defense.
We really just needed to make one play.
Yes, do something.
One play on defense. We need
totally
to make
agree.
One play.
Yeah.
All right, coming up next, everyone's favorite part of the WIP Afternoon Show is the Top 5 of 5. Jack, what do you have in store?
It's been a tough week for watching our favorite teams and certain aspects of those teams.
Okay.
And it's the most sinking feelings as a fan.
Oh, no. This is not what we need today,
thanks,
man.
Yeah, way to cheer everybody
yeah,
up.
Could you adjust on the fly?
Well, we might have a buzz situation.
Oh, no.
That needs to be discussed.
Okay. All right. Well, look, if there's an opportunity to rip buzz, you do that top 5 of 5, and that's what we'll do.
Well, it happened during the show.
Okay. That is coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.